President Obama takes executive action in relation to gun control and what he's ready to implement right now. We're also going to be talking about the Bill of Rights and a representative government. That's what a republic is all about, as well as Britain teaching their students that Britain is a Christian nation, all happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. He went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time. What are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side. No matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me. And when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski. Today's program is going to be about the Constitution. We're going to be talking about the Constitution today, the Bill of Rights, and we're going to be talking about the difference between a democracy and a republic. You know, they're not the same. They're quite different. And here in the United States of America, we have a republic and a representative government. We're also going to be discussing, are we losing our civil liberties? But before we do, I do want to talk about, we are going to go to how the president just is issuing an executive order in regards to gun control. And what does that mean? Does that mean more background checks? And will any of these executive orders actually help to keep any of us safe, or do they actually hinder law-abiding citizens? Watch this.
In his first act of the new year, President Obama is using his executive pen to put stricter controls on the sale of guns. He knows his actions won't prevent all gun violence, but the president says if he can save just one life, then it's worth it. You may remember the president signed 23 executive orders regarding guns in January of 2013 after the mass school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. Since then, he signed 2 more. This latest round will include closing the so-called gun show loophole. This is an issue that's been debated for years. The president wants to force gun sellers to register as federally licensed dealers. That will then require those dealers to run background checks on gun buyers. We also expect him to take other actions that will beef up regulations on gun dealers. Now, the big question remains, though, will his executive actions be legal? Attorneys at the White House and the Department of Justice have been poring over exactly what the president can and cannot do without the approval of Congress. However, we've seen the court overturn his executive actions before. Regardless, you can be sure the president's latest round of gun control executive actions will be challenged in court, and some Republican candidates have already vowed to undo them if elected later this year. Despite a number of mass shootings and a terrorist attack, the president's moves come as more Americans oppose stricter gun control. White House officials say the president isn't worried about politics, though. Rather, he's trying to save lives. And let this be foreshadowing, the White House says, that this lame duck president, beginning his final year in office, plans to use every tool at his disposal to advance his agenda. I'm Jennifer Wishon for Beltway Buzz in Washington.
We're going to go to a break, but when we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack this and talk about this more. What does this executive order actually mean, and what is an executive order? This is something that presidents have used throughout history, but what does it mean to you and me, the American citizen? Basically means that the president single-handedly can make a decision that affects the whole entire population without going through Congress, which is you, your representative government. But more when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping
keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too, to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room, there's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Executive power, presidential powers. Wow. You know, many are very upset, Steve, regarding this new executive action to control guns and lawful Americans being able to exercise their Second Amendment right. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna be getting into executive powers, but I want to just highlight a couple things that I saw in a recent article posted by Breitbart. They talked about two things. I talked about five things. We're only mentioning two for today because we have such a packed program that they said that this would hinder in terms of, you know, what we've been doing for 200+ years in America. It's a Second Amendment right. You have the right to bear arms, and all of these loopholes, all these different executive orders and everything that's trying to be pushed to restrict you, you know, the American citizen, is basically ultimately going to end in what they really would like is a gun registry, that every single person that owns a gun is registered and known by the government. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a difference of opinion, but we have a legal system, we have a constitution, and to be able to start taking executive orders and deciding one person what we should do is really bypassing the voice of the American people and the rights of the American people.
Oh, and that's the whole point of how initially the government was designed, is that we have the three different branches, but because that we've gotten so far away from the Constitution, we don't understand that it's totally being just avoided. And when you have one person saying, I'm going to do it, it's bypassing, like you're saying, the people. That's Congress.
Yeah, we have elected representatives, and we're going to be talking about it on today's program, the difference between democracy and a republic. Mm-hmm. But one of the things they say, that the main policy, it wouldn't have stopped any of the recent mass shootings. Mm-hmm. This is not something that is actually going to protect people. Many are saying this is just something that, again, is just a prelude. This is an inching closer to a national gun registry where every single gun owner in America is registered, is known. Why would that be necessary? In fact, I remember that when I was in New Jersey, they actually had one of these things in New York, and the local newspaper, Steve, put it out there on the internet, gun owners and their addresses, a map of where people lived. Like, why would you do that? Then people that want to steal guns, they actually cannot get guns the legal way. Then they go and break into these people's homes that actually have guns when they're at work and steal them.
Right.
And so this is a problem. But the other thing is this. It says it goes against 225 years of precedent, which was destroyed without any kind of process. And basically, this is what it means, and this is what this executive order, should it go through and Congress doesn't get involved. But it says this. The expansion of background checks is an affront to freedom in general because it brings the private seller under the purview of the government, regardless of whether those sellers sell one gun a year or 100. Think about this. Americans have been selling guns privately since 1991.
1791.
Sorry, that's 225 years. And now, with the swipe of a pen, all that's different. And so if you're selling, you know, individually, now the person who's actually, because you're not a gun dealer, but now you'll be registered, you have to be a gun dealer now. You have to take the onus is on you to make sure that you get a background check on someone. It's like, wait a minute, what are all these hoops? What are we going to? And so you have to know that this is really, by the time this gets implemented, if it does, President Obama probably won't be in office anymore. And so what, unless, you know, you just don't know what happens, who's going to win the election and what's going to go on. And then you got to wonder, like, is this going, is this the whole aim to get basically a universal background check that basically they have right now in California and France? And this is basically leading to a gun registry. But what happened in San Bernardino, those were legal guns that were bought by somebody else, by the way, who actually, you know, gave them to Farouk and his wife. And by the way, the justice system works. This person was found. They tracked them down. And guess what? This guy's going to be going away from prison for a long time because they labeled him as a terrorist. He bought guns legally and wind up supplying them to terrorists. Well, you're going to go to jail. You're a terrorist.
Yeah. And the hard thing is, too, is like we can't get focused on the fact of just like, okay, we need to pass more laws because what criminal is going to obey a law?
Exactly.
None of them do. That's why they're criminals. And that's the hard thing is that you see people, what you're seeing is like, you know, in the military, they call it a soft target. If you know someone that doesn't have a gun, you know that that's someone that's basically who's going to be defenseless.
Of course.
And you've seen it. We've talked about it before in regards to one of the states that have the strictest gun laws is California. And it's just like of all the places that this could happen, it's the answer is not just passing more laws.
Yeah, California, New Jersey, and New York are the strictest gun laws in all of the country. And guess what? It's not the least amount of crime. You know, when I lived in New Jersey, you'd have billboards as you're coming off of the airport in Newark as you're driving on 21 or some of these other roads. These huge billboards, it tells you if you commit a crime with a gun, I mean, you're going away for a long, long time. Yep. It tells you 1, 2, 3, all these different things. And yet people are still all over the place in New Jersey with guns, and they're committing all kinds of crimes with guns. It doesn't stop criminals. It does not stop criminals. Mm-hmm. And where most states have if you know, if you have a concealed weapons license, let's say, if from another state, there's where it's set up where you can and go to different state
and
reciprocating
state
laws, right, where they will accept your concealed weapons license. Well, if you're a police officer in Georgia, you cannot bring your gun into New York City. You cannot do it. You can't. And so these laws are not set up to protect, you know, the citizen. They're set up to protect the criminal because they're still going to get their hands on what they're going to get their hands on, no matter what it is, you know. And so it's important that we understand, you know, why is this happening and what is this executive order all about? We've been hearing so much in particular this administration, but a lot of presidents have used these executive orders. You know, some of them could be good, but what does it mean and how is it cutting us out, the American citizen? We're going to be talking about this in our program, the difference between a democracy and a republic. A democracy is a majority. We think that we have a democracy. We use that word, you know, easily. Mm-hmm. But that means that the majority wins. Well, when you have a republic, yes, there is some form of democracy. But what happens is that a republic helps the people that are not a majority not lose their rights. Mm-hmm. You still have rights. Even though you're not in majority, you don't have any rights. I mean, you still have your rights. They still need to be protected. But I want you to watch as we learn out loud what are these presidential powers are all about. Watch this.
Sometimes on the news, we hear about policies made through executive orders. But what are executive orders and how do they work? An executive order is a directive handed down from a president or state governor without involvement from the legislative or judicial branches. Executive orders can only be given to federal or state agencies like the Department of Homeland Security or the State Department. Even though executive orders are not mentioned in the Constitution, they've been used by every president since George Washington, and more often during times of war or during national disasters when government policy needs to work more quickly than the traditional legislative process. Sometimes the Supreme Court has stepped in to rein back presidential powers, like when Harry Truman tried to use executive orders to have the government seize America's steel plants in the 50s. Presidents have used executive orders to make policy that circumvents congressional control. In recent years, George W. Bush used executive orders to approve more aggressive surveillance after 9/11, and President Obama has used them for several things, including immigration reform. Some fear that their increased use threatens the long-standing checks and balances set up in the Constitution. In that system, Congress makes the laws, the courts interpret the laws, and the president and the executive branch enforces the law. So the next time you hear a president is issuing an executive order, it really means one person is making a decision for 322 million Americans without input from Congress, state legislators, or courts. And it can be just as easily changed by the next president with the stroke of a pen and no input from anyone else.
One person, the president, can make a law, mm-hmm. and institute something that will affect the rest of the entire country without any other state representative, right. Congress, anyone involved. Listen, this needs to be really understood. This needs to be well thought out. And we need to make sure that our liberties, our civil liberties, our rights are not being infringed upon. The minute mm-hmm. we start tearing up our rights and start giving them up, listen, it won't be long till we lose them all. We get back from this break. We're going to continue to talk about this more, in particularly the difference between a democracy and a republic. But before we go to break, I do want to talk to you about our special offer of being a partner. Listen, you have an opportunity today to be a VFN TV partner. For any financial amount, you become a partner, and with that comes benefits. You have all the special offers available to you at any time. Today's special offer is $2,000. You don't want to miss it. Become a VFN TV partner today. I want to share with you about our special offer $2,000. You want to get this special offer just for partnering with VFN TV for any amount. It's yours. We want to get it to you, and it's called This is an Act of War. Has World War III begun? And is this the coming mark of the beast? These were the statements. This is an act of war by the France's president, François Hollande, right after the Paris attacks. If you remember, he closed the borders immediately. And what happened was a complete tragedy. But he says this is an act of war and that France was going to be engaged. But in this message, you're going to find out some very interesting and some startling information. One of which is that, is this a prelude to the mark of the beast? How are we going to get there? Are we on the verge of World War III? You're also going to find out about biometrics identity. They have a system already designed and they want to implement for 7 billion people where they're digitally tagging you with an ID. You don't want to miss it. This is a time for the church to wake up as to what is happening right now. You want to get this message. You want to partner. And it's through your partnership and our sponsors that we're able to continue to do what we're doing, keeping the conversation light. You become a partner at VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and select partner now. Or you can do it by mail, and you want to mail VFN TV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, and you can always feel free to call at 844-408-3688. Again, that number is 844-408-3688. Partner today.
Thank you for being with us today and watching VFN TV. Where we keep the conversation light and we're focused on Israel.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a daughter who is currently on active duty in the military. She has been put in charge of founding a youth group within the chapel setting, and the people there have been real resistive as far as fundraising events or some of the other ideas that she would like to implement. She was wondering where she would go to find the information that would make her superiors more comfortable in knowing what the parameters are.
First, of course, our website has a tremendous amount of information on this issue, but we also have a
couple of lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice that deal with issues of religious liberty and the military. And you're correct. These youth groups can meet. They can have the same rights as they would in private life. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers. Also encourage you to get your daughter to go to our website at ACLJ.org.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Steve, new Gallup poll. Recent Gallup poll says that half of the United States population, it continues to say that the government is an immediate threat. 50%, 49, 50% believe that the U.S. government, according to Gallup poll, is an immediate threat. Why should this be when the government should be of and by and, you know, for the people? It's a representative government. Listen, we don't want to get to a point where that number 75%, 60%. Yeah. And the government's not supposed to be our enemy. It's supposed to be our friends. It's supposed to be our neighbors. It's supposed to be the people in our community who we, through a voting process, select to go to Washington, D.C. or our State Department, State Capitol, and be our elected representatives to represent us, because we're all working, but they can represent us and report back to us in regards to the things that they are wanting to implement, laws, things that we as citizens are even suggesting that they actually put into law. And so this shouldn't be this confrontational thing, but sad to say, in our country, it's very, very divided right now. And we want to be able to talk about, because this is one of the things we talk about in our program, is the original intent of our nation. And it's so important that we understand that we are a country of laws,
right?
And that the Constitution must be protected. It must be protected because it helps every single individual that comes here to the United States and becomes a citizen. We want you to see. This was done by the Bill of Rights Institute. Phenomenal. We're going to make sure that this is actually related for you on the torch. They have so many ways of young people can get educated and learn about the Constitution. It's really fascinating. But they put this video together that really outlines the difference between a democracy and the republic. Watch this.
America, the world's greatest democracy.
And if we say we believe in democracy,
the power of our democracy.
Democracy.
Democracy. Democracy.
This is a democracy.
Usual rhetoric and language of our public officials and within the media is the language of democracy.
The constitutional principle of republican government means that the people select representatives to make and carry out laws.
Are the American people fit to govern themselves, to rule themselves, to control themselves?
For the British colonists living in North America in the 18th century, republican government was the only theoretical alternative form to monarchy. When the colonies separated from England, the American people would begin an experiment in self-government. What form would that government take? Though many refer to the United States as a democracy, this is not accurate. The United States is not a democracy, but rather a constitutional republic.
Constitutional republic would be a republic that bounded government, that limited government. And for the American people of the Revolutionary period. A constitutional government would have been a government that would have respected the rights of the people and afforded certain protections for those rights. And we need to link those two things. Otherwise, it becomes then too easy to fault the system for not being purely democratic. Well, it wasn't intended to be a pure democracy.
It's impossible to know everything the founders believed and wanted, and they didn't all feel the exact same way about most issues. But they all wanted to establish a system that would best protect liberty, and they saw that democracy was just as dangerous to liberty as monarchy. The majority could not be trusted with people's rights any more than a monarchy could be. Direct democracy had been tried through history, and it repeatedly failed. Arguing against the direct election of the president by the people at the Constitutional Convention, Elbridge Gerry said, "The evils we experience flow from the excess of democracy. The people do not want virtue, but are the dupes of pretended patriots." Writing in the Federalist Papers, James Madison observed in 1787, "Pure democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths." Republican government was one way the founders worked to correct the problems that would come with a majority rule system. Most had concluded that a Republican government required a small territory as well as a virtuous citizenry in order to work. While Madison knew that a virtuous citizenry was needed, he turned the small territory idea on its head. A larger extended republic, he asserted, would better protect liberty. The people, he said, would naturally divide themselves into groups, which he called factions. Factions would have different interests, different beliefs, and different desires. These many different factions over a large extended republic would prevent a majority of citizens coming together to oppress a minority. A further check on the power of the majority would be the election of representatives. Rather than directly governing, the people would vote for people to represent their interests. Madison wrote in Federalist 39, "We may define a republic to be a government which derives all of its powers, directly or indirectly, from the great body of the people, and is administered by persons holding their offices during pleasure for a limited period or during good behavior." So, if the U.S. is not a democracy, why do we often hear the phrase majority rule? Does the majority always rule? Should it?
It's okay. It's a democracy. I don't need, or I didn't need, 100%. To prevail, I only needed 50% plus one.
Are there some things a majority cannot do, even if everyone in that majority wants the same thing? How would you know what those things are? We know, as Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address, that the United States of America has a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And we also know that John Adams warned in 1814, "Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide." Some have compared a democracy to two wolves and a sheep voting on what to eat for dinner. Democracy alone is not enough to protect everyone's rights. Something more is needed. A study of the Constitution reveals the founders heeded this warning and took many measures, including Republican government, to ensure the blessings of liberty for posterity.
This is so important. This is the wisdom behind an electoral college when we vote. If our president was elected based upon majority, then that means that all would happen is that half the population could move to a few states or the states that had the largest population. The presidential candidates will only have to go to those few states, win their approval, and then three or four, six, seven states could basically decide what would happen to the entire country. But the wisdom of the electoral college means that you have to go to every single state. You have to be able to get the consensus, the whole picture in order to be able to be elected. Listen, there's so much to this, and we want to be able to make sure that we understand this, that we educate ourselves, that we become informed. There's a lot of things that are being passed today with good intentions, but good intentions are not enough. We need to know what is the rule of law, and we need to make sure that all of our rights are protected, and we need to make sure that process and due diligence is actually done, and we don't sign laws and implement things that are against the Constitution. We begin to erode and cut up the Constitution. It's not long before we'll have tyranny.
Right.
And, you know, who would have thought that we would be discussing this, in 2016, but we are, and it's real. And more and more we realize, you know, this experiment of America is pretty young. Think about it. It's pretty young. We want to make sure that it lasts. But before we do want to talk about civil liberties in a connected dots moment. And I want you to make sure that you actually watch this because Greg does a great job setting it up as he introduces mm-hmm. Prager University. And why are we losing our civil liberties? Watch this.
We have to pay attention. We have to become alert about what's going on. The question is, and Prager does a real good job of explaining this, Prager University, you know, why are we losing our liberties? As a matter of fact, take a look now.
How did the framers of the Constitution of the United States seek to preserve liberty and prevent tyranny? Pretty basic question. Here's the answer I usually get from my students. Well, Professor, to protect the individual and minorities against the tyranny of the majority, they added the Bill of Rights. And they gave the power to enforce those rights to the Supreme Court. Are my students correct? The editorial boards of the New York Times or the Washington Post and many members of the U.S. Congress would say yes. Unfortunately, the answer is wrong. I say unfortunately because it reflects a common misunderstanding of the Constitution. And that misunderstanding has led to a serious erosion of our freedom. Let me explain. Both the Bill of Rights and judicial review, the idea that the courts can decide if a law is constitutional or not, were hotly debated items when the Constitution was being drafted in 1789. The Federalists, the group led by Alexander Hamilton that wanted a national constitution, opposed including a Bill of Rights. They feared it would actually undermine what the Federalists regarded as the main protections against tyranny in the document, the limited nature of the national government itself. The Constitution did not envision a national government of general jurisdiction, meaning a government that could do whatever it wanted, but rather a government of enumerated and delegated powers. A government that had authority over only specific areas of American life. All other powers were to be beyond the scope of the national government and reserved to the states or to the American people themselves. That's why when political necessity forced the Federalists to yield to demands for a Bill of Rights, they took care to add two important amendments, the 9th and 10th. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. These amendments reinforce the idea that the national government couldn't just assume powers it had not been specifically granted by the Constitution. Unfortunately, these amendments have not stymied the expansion of the national authority. The power grab the Federalists feared, the national government taking more and more control over more and more areas of American life, took place. Not immediately, but over time, and especially beginning in the second half of the 20th century. That same time frame has seen a similar concentration of power in the judiciary, especially in the Supreme Court, so that now most Americans think of the Supreme Court as the ultimate arbiter of almost every social and political dispute. The founders never envisioned the court in this role. How has the court fared in playing it? Well, there have been moments of glory, to be sure, such as in the racial desegregation case of Brown against the Board of Education in the 1950s. But it has also handed down decision after decision, from Dred Scott against Sanford in the 1850s, which facilitated the expansion of slavery, to Roe against Wade in the 1970s, which legalized abortion throughout the United States, in which the justices have plainly overstepped the bounds of their authority by creating law from the bench, thereby further expanding their own power and that of the national government. Moreover, the Supreme Court has done little to stop the executive and legislative branches of the national government from unconstitutionally overreaching. Recently, the court found a way, by a bare majority, to uphold an obvious case of constitutional overreach by the national government, the imposition of a law, or individual mandate as it is known, requiring every citizen to purchase health insurance coverage as part of President Obama's signature Affordable Care Act. The government defended this mandate as a legitimate exercise of its expressly delegated power to regulate commerce among the states. The trouble is, that the mandate does not regulate commerce at all. Rather, it forces people into commerce on pain of a financial penalty. But why did the issue get to the courts at all? Congress and the president should have recognized and honored the fact that the Constitution simply does not empower the national government to impose a mandate on the people to purchase products, whether health insurance or anything else. We've drifted a long way from the original vision of the founders. The further we've drifted, the more powerful the national government has grown, and the less free Americans have become. Freedom can be taken away, but it can also be given away out of sheer ignorance. If we Americans, we the people, want to get some of that freedom back, we need to read America's founding documents. All the freedom we ever wanted is there. I'm Robert George, professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University for Prager University.
So you think about this. I mean, can you imagine if all of a sudden we get an order out of Washington, D.C. that you have to, everybody has to get into this multi-level marketing business, Amway. Think about it, you know. They're telling us we have to get involved, and if we don't get involved, we're going to get penalized. The government is just shifting and totally shifting its role and its original intent. You know, one thing that we're fixing to go to a break, but one thing we're going to do with VFN, with our VFN Kingdom Business Partners, is focusing on the government mountain, where groups get together, small groups get together, you know, small is the new big, and have a relationship, but also begin to talk about the Constitution.
This is so mm-hmm. important, Steve. Listen, if you are interested in being part of these Kingdom Mountain meetings where you get to gather with other like-minded people that, mm-hmm. in particular, Government Mountain, really want to learn about your constitutional rights and you know, talk about, discuss, and learn. Listen, go to VFNTV.com, get in contact with us, and we'll make sure we can connect you. But we're going to go right to a break. When we get back, we're going to be showing you a brand new trailer to a movie that's coming out 2016. You don't want to miss. It's God's Not Dead 2. Join us. We'll get right back from this break.
We spend our whole lives searching for meaning and direction, for something that makes sense. The Bible is supposed to offer that clarity. Is that how it works, though? Because if the Bible is that enlightening, why do so few people spend so little time in it? Maybe we're missing something. Sure, the Bible is the story of God, but it's also our story. If we take God out of the Bible, there is no Bible. But if we take people out of the Bible, there isn't a Bible either. The Bible is our story, with God in the middle of it, as He has always been. Maybe things are about to change. Maybe direction and clarity can actually be found. You can go through the whole Bible using the time you could otherwise waste. And you'll be among friends. That might just change everything. Look in the mirror. Remember today, because time in the scriptures are going to start shifting things. In a month, you're going to realize that you're not alone. Look back in the mirror in a year, and you'll realize that the Bible has changed the way you look at just about everything. It'll be like coming home. The search is over.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN-TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
UK, Britain, right now, Great Britain is saying, the Secretary of School saying that they must teach that Britain is a Christian nation.
Mm.
How awesome is that? Which kind of sets us up, I mean, for this movie that we're about to just preview for you, God's Not Dead Part 2, because it all stems from the whole thing of this whole movie here is about a teacher who actually starts quoting scripture.
Just acknowledges Jesus.
Answering a student's question, and all of a sudden she's in the middle of a major court battle and God's on trial. I want you to watch the story behind the story as they talk about why this movie is so important. The first one was a huge success. Watch this.
Hi, I'm David Arrowhite, and I'm on the set of God's Not Dead 2. As you know, in God's Not Dead, it was about a student taking a stand for Christ in the classroom. On God's Not Dead 2, here we are in the public courthouse. What would you do if you shared your faith in Jesus Christ with someone and it was deemed illegal? Would you be brave enough to take a stand in the public square knowing that you could lose everything?
The battle, so to speak, was in the classroom with the first movie. This time, it's in the courtroom. So I think that was that's a very natural progression in that sense.
We're having freedoms infringed upon that we, in my generation, grew up enjoying, and when there wasn't any question about anybody impinging on them in any way.
Christians across the United States were feeling like their voice had been taken. I think we just wanted to delve a little bit further into that and say, okay, what's really at risk here?
This deals now with another issue that America is faced with, and it's really a freedom of religion, a freedom of speech.
This female high school teacher who teaches an AP history class, a faith-related question comes up from one of her students who is comparing the teachings on nonviolence of Gandhi and Martin Luther King to Jesus, and she says, oh, this seems like there's a parallel here. And the teacher comments on that just honestly, and the whole world, then when she has said the J word in class, in a public school, the world starts crashing in very quickly.
There's always a cost to something that's right. There's always a cost. There's people who will oppose you and they will kill you for your beliefs. But if you stand strong, right always is victorious.
We have to love everyone, which is what Jesus calls us to do, so we would constantly give ground. Jesus told us to hold our ground, in other words, to say what we believe, to spread the gospel, but to do it lovingly.
If I found a really great skincare line, you know, and I love this and I wanted to tell you about it, so why wouldn't I do that with religion? Why wouldn't I do that with something that I found that brings me joy and comfort and peace?
I play Tom Endler. I'm Grace's union-appointed attorney, hired on from the public defender's office. He's not a religious man, he's not a Christian, but he sort of comes to respect Grace's religious integrity.
For me, when you feel challenged on your beliefs, especially some of your core beliefs, I think it is important to seriously look at it.
If it can make you think about the issues, or if it can reinforce something that you feel and believe in, then I think it's done a good job.
With the message of the film as well, I mean, I feel like it's a great movie, but then it's also got a great message, and that just comes together. So, you know, I feel like if you liked the first film, you're going to love this one.
Michael mentions it from stage every night now, and when he mentions that there's going to be God's Not Dead 2, it's one of the biggest roars of the night, because people are just so ready for this next movie, so we can't wait.
What would happen? What would happen if right now the United States, we would do what Great Britain has just done and said, in all of our schools, grade school, middle school, high school, we're teaching that our country is a Christian nation. I want you to watch a trailer for God's Not Dead 2. Make sure you grab a friend, buy extra tickets. It's going to be out in theaters April the 1st. This year, you don't want to miss it. Watch this.
In this day and age, people seem to forget that the most basic human right of all is the right to believe.
Please don't pray! Please don't pray!
No prayers, no moments of silence, nothing.
Think of the other children out there who are subjected to their repressive belief system.
If we sit by and do nothing,
The pressure that we're feeling today will mean persecution tomorrow. We're at war.
What makes nonviolence so radical is this unwavering commitment to a nonviolent approach.
Isn't that sort of like what Jesus meant when he said that we should love our enemies?
Yes. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
One of your students sent a text to their parents. Did this happen?
If you're asking whether I responded to a student's question, yes.
And your answer incorporated the words of Jesus.
What were you thinking, Grace?
The Thalys are asking that you be fired, plus revocation of your teaching certificate.
How do we make this go away and not get blood on our hands?
We let the ACLU do it.
We're going to prove once and for all that God is dead.
An order in the matter of Thalys versus Wesley.
Mr. Kane will insist faith isn't on trial here, but that is exactly what is on trial.
You're looking to prove that Jesus Christ existed? Oh, that's ridiculous. I hate what people like your clients stand for and what they're doing to our society.
You're under arrest.
These people, they're looking to destroy you. Everyone's telling me to stay out of it. What is your heart telling you to do?
I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. I am not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus.
If we're going to insist that a Christian's right to believe is subordinate to all other rights, then it's not a right.
Mr. Inland, you are out of order. I charge you with contempt.
I accept the charge because I have nothing but contempt for these proceedings.
God's not dead. He's surely alive. He's living on the inside, rolling like a lion. God's not dead. Surely alive.
God's not dead too.
Powerful.
Man, the first one was great.
Oh,
wasn't
yeah.
It?
That in itself was an awesome movie, and I can't wait to see the second one.
Wow, this is so cool because this gives you an opportunity to see. Mm-hmm. I love what we're doing with Christian films, Steve, because the quality, the acting.
They're getting better and better. Yeah. Everyone.
And the now issues that we're addressing, it really helps us to see, listen, we can take a stand. This is what's happening in our culture, and we're not supposed to just sit on the sidelines. We're supposed to engage our culture.
Yeah. And these are the moments that you see great things that people just unwaveringly just stand and just believing in who they say God is and who Jesus is and just saying, you can come against me if you want, but I know Jesus is Lord.
And I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to deny him no matter what. Even if I have to pay a cost, so be it. I'm going to stand for Jesus. Steve, would you close us out in prayer?
Father God, I just thank you, Lord, just for what you're doing right now in the body of Christ, God. And I just pray for just an overwhelming just baptism of boldness, that you would just consume us with your presence, God, that you would just give us the wisdom, that you would just give us the tenacity, that regardless of what comes against us in these coming days, give us the wisdom, give us the grace, God. Help us to understand the rights that are given to us in this nation so that we would stand unwavering, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that you would just forgive the abortion in this nation, that you would pour out a revival upon all nations and a third great awakening, God, in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord.
Amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
But a conversation, you'll be surprised because you have to keep your brain active. And personally, you know, and this is how my brain works, and maybe if you're a different kind of design of a brain, you have to have complete silence so you can hear yourself talk to yourself. I don't need to talk to myself. And you have to hear yourself think. Yeah, look at that. His eyes roll up his head. Gerbil? He goes, that's true. That's actually, I needed to hear myself think. They're the ones that go, shh, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no noise.
All you do is snap your fingers and they're lost. Where am I? What happened? But to me, it just makes my brain just fire off everything. And I just love to hear good, you know, positive, you know, conversation. There's nothing more positive than talking about the things of God and God's perspective behind the news and, you know, wisdom moments. Think about it. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. You can go to college for, you know, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and you can be knowledgeably ignorant.
Ignorant.
And it's a shocker, you know. Doctor, see right here, this is how you start your car. You know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much knowledge, it's like, but you got to have wisdom on how to apply that knowledge. And we hope, you know, in the conversations that we're having, we're sharing with you the wisdom that God has revealed to us. How do you live your day-to-day life? That's wisdom. How do I apply, you know, the Word of God to my life, the commandments of God and all that? And just, it's just, I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an I something, or an N something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink, and just carry it with you, or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it: 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee
mm-hmm.
while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?